This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
All right, it is Monday afternoon on a busy, busy day as we live in a police state, the United States of America, where we have our federal law enforcement actively engaged in politics. That is the very definition of a police state. I opened the show talking about that today, and I will talk more about it as well. But I want to switch gears for a moment because very important case before the United States Supreme Court dealing with freedom, the freedom to say no. The freedom to say this commerce violates my personal beliefs. And that's what's at issue in this case. It is about gay wedding cakes and gay wedding invitations. Obviously, neither a cake nor an invitation could be gay, but it's about people who want to have those for same-sex marriages in violation of the person's religious belief. So you're compelling them to engage in commerce. Now, this is very different from discrimination from my perspective, because you have to accommodate everybody under the law. So let's say, for example, and this was always what Jack Phillips said. He said, somebody comes into my bakery, they can buy anything they want. They can be gay. They can be straight. I don't ask. I don't care. Just buy whatever you want. They can have a rainbow unicorn outfit on. Doesn't matter. Buy whatever you want. But to ask me to violate my religious beliefs by taking my hands and forming something and then baking a cake is forcing me to actively engage in commerce that violates my will and my religious beliefs, and I have a right to say no to that. Can't force me to bake a cake. Can't force me to do it. Same thing with a woman who's making the wedding invitations, too. It's the same thing. Jack Phillips, I went out there to Colorado, if you remember, a few years ago to support him, and last minute he decided to go to the Supreme Court case in Washington. He wasn't going to go. But I had a great interview with him nevertheless. Got to speak to a lot of his customers and his clients, and it was really cool to be there for that. He won at the Supreme Court in 2018, but it was a limited decision. So that's why this is back again in front of the United States Supreme Court today. And Justice Elena Kagan asked an oral argument, what about the work of a stylist whose free expression is in creating a wonderful hairdo? On Monday, the justices will take up 303 Creative v. Ellenis. It's another religious objection to Colorado's anti-discrimination law. But this time, there's no hand-wringing over whether the First Amendment covers baked goods. Lori Smith designs websites. She wants to offer custom wedding websites while saying up front she will decline to work on same-sex weddings because doing so would compromise my Christian witness. The design of wedding websites qualifies as pure speech, according to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals. Yet the panel in Colorado ruled against Ms. Smith. They say Colorado's law says companies that are open to the public can't refuse customers based on sexual orientation. The state's interest in ensuring equal access to the commercial marketplace trumps her interest in violating her religious beliefs. It's essentially what they're saying. Now, I'm telling you right now, if it's me, I'm just simply going down the street and finding somebody else who will take my money. And if it's me, I'm probably going to take the money. I mean, just being honest. But I'm not going to compel anybody to engage in commerce. The classic example I can think of is a ShopRite in, I believe it was Phillipsburg, New Jersey, that came in. There's this nutty guy who named his kid Adolf Hitler, and they're Nazis. They think they're Nazis anyway. And he went to ShopRite and tried to get a wedding cake. I mean, it used to be a birthday cake for his son and wanted to say happy birthday, Adolf Hitler. And ShopRite said, no, get the hell out of here. And I think that that's exactly very analogous to this. Not that I'm equating gay people with Nazi messages. I'm not. But I'm simply saying that people have beliefs, and there's always somebody out there that would ask you to violate your belief in something. And so the question becomes, can you say no? Because if you don't allow the ability of people to say no, and you start playing this game of, well, this isn't important, but this is, and you start, then it becomes very muddy and very complicated. So you really want to be black and white about this. Do you have a right to say no or not? Not to refuse service to somebody, but to engage in commerce. The act is not, as the company claims, compel a Hindu calligrapher to write flyers proclaiming Jesus is Lord, the state insists. It requires only that if the calligrapher chooses to write such a flyer, they'll sell it to Christian and Hindu customers alike. The state is saying that the woman may define her services however she wants, including offering only websites that include biblical quotes describing marriage as the union of one man and one woman. Theoretically, a gay couple getting married could ask Ms. Smith for exactly that, but to explain this argument is to refute it because that isn't what the gay couple would want from her. They would want to have an authentic love story. Now, incidentally, as I mention all this to you, and again, I am not equating in any way, shape, or form gay people with Nazis or anything like that, because I'm not. But the question is, for example, when do you force somebody to violate their important beliefs? When does that happen? And in the marketplace in particular, when does that happen? Now, you would think the law would just leave her be, and then her business will rise and fall. There'll probably be enough people out there screaming that she's a bigot to hurt her bottom line. And as the economy tightens up, she may want to take everybody's business, but those are her choices to make. That's not the government's choice to make. That's her choice to make. Now, under physical and unlike physical public accommodation laws, such as hotels and restaurants, there's no captive market on the internet. Coloradans can choose from countless different website designers, most of whom will happily serve gay weddings. So why can't they just leave her alone? But this is the thing, is that they purposely now try to get these people to say no to them so they can sue them. Because they won't be happy until they force people to go against their religious beliefs. Now, mine is very simple. My take on this is very simple. Nobody has a right to a wedding cake. Nobody has a right to a wedding invitation. So if somebody is refusing to do business with you, and they, as far as I'm concerned, can refuse you for any reason, you're a jerk, whatever it is, unless it's specific that you are discriminating against somebody, not because of any belief. So then you get into the other trick, which is, well, what happens if a guy says, I have a strong belief that, well, black people can't come into my restaurant. But that's not the issue here, because the law is very, very clear under public accommodation that you don't have the luxury, the right, the ignorance, whatever you want to call it, to say no because of the public accommodation law. Colorado says we have an anti-discrimination law. So the tricky part of this and why this is before the Supreme Court is the question of, is this discrimination or not? Because they're not getting something, theoretically. They can come into the bar and buy a beer. It's a question of whether or not the guy, the bartender, is going to cater their party, if that makes sense. That's the difference in all this. I have a little bit of audio to you from the Supreme Court hearing today. This is Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson throws out the hypothetical of something called Grandma Helen's Protestant Provisions. Cut five.
Selling this, I'm going to be violating my own beliefs. So let me just ask you another quick hypo. So I'm trying to understand the extent to which this matters that she's a speaker as opposed to a restaurant. So I sell food, and one line of products that I make is from scratch for particular customers that are based on my grandmother's cherished family recipes. My dearly departed grandmother was clear that she only wanted to provide this kind of nourishment for people who share our same religious heritage. So I call these products Grandma Helen's Protestant Provisions. And I sit with each customer who comes in and I hear about their faith and their family, and I customize the recipe for them after having this discussion. So the food is not expressive, right? I'm not speaking in my food. But I am trying to convey that only certain people get to partake in this product. Can I do that consistent with the First Amendment or not?
No, and in this situation, as you said, in terms of a caterer, the caterer is not engaging in speech. In terms of your initial statements or questions, speech is speech, whether it's paid or pro bono.
But don't we have cases that suggest that people's conduct can be expressive? I thought there was a whole line of cases that said you didn't have to actually have an express message. You could be acting in such a way as to express a message. And in my restaurant hypo, I'm saying if I sell to non-Protestants, I'd be expressing a message contrary to Grandma Helen's core beliefs.
You're speaking through conduct at that point, and that is a different analysis. In terms of the expressive conduct test, the court has already articulated what those tests are and what a reasonable person would observe. But in that case, you're talking essentially about status discrimination. There's no message that she is creating that would be compelled in that way. That would simply be service. In addition, though, I think it's important to recognize the breadth of the public accommodation law. You've started with a statement about freelance writers. At oral argument at the Tenth Circuit, my friend in Colorado admitted that freelance writers are considered to be public accommodations under the law.
All right, well, I'll ask.
So, again, it's really a question of the First Amendment in this case in particular and speech. And is a wedding invitation covered by speech? And then are you forcing somebody to engage in speech that goes beyond something they believe? Because you can't force people to do that. And that's also the crux of what's really behind the wedding cake, too. It's not the cake. It's the message. Can you compel somebody to write a message they don't believe in? Can you force somebody to put a message that they don't agree with on a cake or on an invitation or on a website? Can you force them to do those things? That's the question. And if you make it about the speech, because the government can't compel you to commit speech that you don't agree with, well, that's the line of thinking in this, in terms of what the argument is for the wedding designer. Now, I tend to agree with that. I tend to agree in a world in which the government leaves you the hell alone and you rise and fall into the free market. So if I don't like your message, I'm not going to make it, period. Well, for whatever reason, it doesn't matter. If I don't like the message, I'm not going to make it. I make flyers. And you come in and you say that you want to advertise that your miracle pill will last longer than the little blue pill. But I go, I'm not interested in advertising that kind of stuff on my I'm just not interested. Go find somebody else. You can't compel me to do your little blue pill ads. I'm just not interested. Go away. That's how I look at it. Very simple. And then the market will punish me or reward me accordingly. That's all it is, as I look at it. Justice Gorsuch, Neil Gorsuch, talked about Jack Phillips, the cake baker, in the Master Shop cake shop case and what happened here. How he literally had to go to re-education camp. He literally was sent by Colorado to go to re-education camp. Part two.
I'm looking for the distinction between the two cases. One you say is okay, the other one not okay.
Because the company, unlike our first example of the speechwriter.
Yeah.
The company here says, in no uncertain terms, will they ever sell a company, a product or a service to a same-sex couple.
No, what they say is we will not sell to anyone, a message that I disagree with as a matter of religious faith, just as a speechwriter says, or the press release writer, the freelance writer says, I will not sell to anyone a speech that offends my religious beliefs.
But here they are defining their service by excluding someone based on their...
That's their religious belief.
Well, in Colorado...
You can't change their religious belief, right?
No, but well...
And you protect religious beliefs under the statute, right? That is one of the protected characteristics,
yes,
in theory.
And in practice. If it wasn't in practice, we have heard about it over the past several years, and my friend has pointed to no example where this has been applied...
Mr. Phillips did go through a re-education training program pursuant to Colorado law, did he not, Mr. Olson?
He went through a process that ensured he was familiar with...
It was a re-education program, right?
It was not a re-education program.
What do you call it?
It was a process to make sure he was familiar with Colorado law.
Someone might be excused for calling that a re-education
program. I strongly
program.
Disagree, Justice Gorsuch.
Thank you, Mr. Olson.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing how it's re-education camp? I love me some Gorsuch. I'm a big fan. Johnny Cook on Twitter says, for the last 5 years or so, before October, I was told that Twitter had the right to not serve anyone for any reason. First Amendment doesn't apply. Why are cakes different? Great question. Great question. And, you know, I've defended the right of Twitter to take people off the site. I don't want the government getting involved there. I think the marketplace has proven that there will be consequences if you engage in that censorship. I think I've been proven right by Elon Musk taking over. Jones says, regarding 303 Creative, what if a vegan supermodel refused to work for designers who make leather and or fur clothing items? Or a photographer refused to cover a beauty pageant because she thinks pageants objectify women? Yeah, they're all great analogies. I mean, I think we could literally do this all day in terms of coming up with analogies like this. That's why the government should stay the hell out of it. And not compel you to express yourself in a way that violates your religious beliefs. And I think that the analogy of saying, well, my religious beliefs say I'm not going to serve Jews in my restaurant, which is really what Ketanji Brown Jackson was getting at, is ridiculous. Because we're not talking about not serving people in a restaurant. We're talking about engaging in expression. And giving somebody pancakes that you'd give anybody is not engaging in expression. That it's not the same thing. And she knows that. Maybe she doesn't. I don't know. But there were some other analogies that came up today during the court. So Supreme Court Justice Alito joked about Ashley Madison during some of the arguments. During his comparisons, he said this. He said, and there were a lot of tough questions back and forth. He brought up a hypothetical. Whether a black Santa at the mall is obligated to take a picture with a child dressed in a KKK outfit. That was the question that he laid out. Eric Olson, the Colorado Solicitor General, said that the black Santa wouldn't have to follow through with the request since KKK outfits are not protected characteristics under accommodation laws. And by the way, do you see how dangerous that is to play that game? So now you'd have to essentially now, you have the state saying what's protected that you can never say no from a message or a public expression point of view. And if it does not fall on that list, well, then you can't say no to it. And then in another moment, a leader brought up a scenario where an unmarried Jewish person asked a Jewish photographer to take a picture for his account on JDate, a dating service for Jewish people. And then he brought up another question. He said, next, a Jewish person asks a Jewish photographer to take a photograph for his AshleyMadison.com site. Ashley Madison is a site for people looking for extramarital relationships. He said, I'm not suggesting that. She knows a lot of things. I'm not suggesting that, okay, but does he have to do it? There was some laughter from the audience. Does he have to do it? It's a great question. Again, a photographer... Because in the case of the wedding cakes, he was pretty defiant, Jack Phillips, in saying, I don't make Halloween cakes. I don't make Halloween cakes. I don't make cakes that would be overly sexual for straight people. I just don't do these kind of things. They made it all about the gay cake, but anyway, it's a great question about Ashley Madison. You know, if you're a photographer who's got strict religious beliefs and you don't believe people should be having extramarital affairs and somebody says, hey, listen, marriage is getting a little boring here. I want to be on this Ashley Madison site, but I got to look good for my gumadas. So can you take my picture? And you go, no, I'm not taking your picture. Your conduct violates my beliefs and my picture is my speech. This is my expression. This is my... So we'll see how the justices rule. My bet on it is, it's hard to bet, but based on what I've been hearing, I think the court is very reluctant to force people to engage in speech that violates their religious beliefs. And I know that the left doesn't believe anybody ever has a religious belief. And I know that they think it's all nonsense. They don't really believe it. But yeah, people do have religious beliefs. And the First Amendment says the government's supposed to not break your chops when it comes to your religious beliefs. And so don't break their chops. It's not that complicated. The market is the ultimate way to solve this is always the marketplace, period. Always is. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.